Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for the great love wherewith you've loved us. Thank you for how patient you've been with us. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in our lives and for all you want to do. Thank you for the guidance that we receive through your word. So here we are again this morning, ready to receive that living word, the entrance of which we receive light and understanding is granted to the simple. Today, O God, grant us receptive hearts and minds. We come against every kind of pride and superfluity of naughtiness and anything that obstructs the entry and the penetration of your word. Bless everyone listening today in Jesus' mighty name. And let everyone say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you very much for your patience with us. I'm grateful to God for what has happened here today. This is not the very first graduation ceremony held here, but this is the most structured system of training people in the church that we've been able to put in place. And it is very important to the future of the church. That is why I'm glad that we've taken off in this manner. And I want to urge and encourage all of us that you are not too old in the faith. Neither should you ever feel that you know too much already to go through these classes. I want to ask that every one of us should determine that they will be a part of this next season of the Bible classes. For those who have not yet received the basic fundamental understanding of the Christian faith, the Christian Foundations class is the class you must join. And then if you've already gone through that, you've been through New Believers classes and all of those things, then what you should participate in is the Christian Maturity class. That is more detailed, obviously, than the Christian Foundation class. But after that, there is another class called the Christian Discipleship class, which is, in a certain sense, the highest class. The thing about that class is you never graduate from it, all right? Because you never get to the place where you are done learning to be a disciple or practicing discipleship. So the only graduations we have are for the CFC and the CMC. So once they are done with the CMC, and the CMC has been broken down into three modules. There is the introductory, there is the intermediate, and then there is the advanced. So once you've gone through all these, then you can move on to the Christian discipleship class, where we go even deeper still in the things of God. Now, this is very important, and I want to ask that all of us should be a part of what goes on in this church. I believe that it is going to help the church to have a certain kind of foundation for the future. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. All right. So this morning, in line with or in relation to what has happened here today with the graduation ceremony, I want to share with you a sermon I've titled Building a Church with a Future. Building a Church with a Future. And now I'd ask you to kindly turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. How would you say building a church with a future in Chi? You see, I'm sorry. Okay. Ma, sorry about it. Is it Colette? We'll take it like that. Matthew 16, verse 18. And all the scriptures I'm reading for this first segment are from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." You would recall how Jesus asked the disciples one day, "Who do men say he is?" Some said John the Baptist, some said Elijah, others said Jeremiah, others also said it's one of the prophets, and so on and so forth. Then Jesus asked a very pertinent question: "Who do you say I am?" And this was when Peter, always impulsive, always quick to speak, responded and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went on and said to him, verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Without the help of God, you will never have a certain understanding of God and the things of God." And that is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. It is after this that Jesus made this profound statement: "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," the rock in this sense is not Peter. The rock is the confession that Peter made, that Jesus is the Son of God. All right? And he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Kindly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, please. "And he himself," referring to Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So here in this scripture, listed for us are what we refer to as the ministry gifts. The ministry gifts, to differentiate them from spiritual gifts. So the ministry gifts refer to men and women who are given to operate in certain offices in the body of Christ. He listed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And together, we have that assignment of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. What it means is that the work of the ministry, which is essentially the work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, bearing fruits, ensuring that the fruits remain, that is the work of the ministry. And that work essentially is supposed to be done by the saints. And the duty of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers is to equip and to prepare and to train the saints. And the saints refer to you. You are the ones who are supposed to do the work of the ministry. And the ministry gifts are supposed to work in conjunction with each other to ensure that the saints are trained to do the work of the ministry. And that is why in the church, there is a need to recognize all these different ministry gifts and make provision for these gifts to operate. Last Sunday, Pastor James ministered. He has a prophetic ministry, and he operated in the gift that God has given to him. And in this church, Shepherd's Fold Restoration family, we are committed to ensuring that whatever gifts there are, whether ministry gifts or spiritual gifts, they are allowed to operate in the church. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then the last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, "You therefore, my son," Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let me start off by making this important statement, that the kind of church we will have in the future is dependent on the church we build today. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The kind of church we will have in the future is dependent on the church we build today. If we want Shepherd's Fold Restoration family to have a certain kind of future, then it is important that we intentionally and deliberately build a kind of church that will have a future. Hallelujah. And there are some three very important questions that every church with its pastors and leaders must constantly ask. Question number one: what kind of church are we building today? Question number two: what kind of people are we producing today? Number three: what will remain after our generation is gone? Three very important questions. See, when you look at the different churches that exist today, you will actually discover that there are, if you like, two broad categories of churches. There are churches that are primarily built for today. Today churches. And then there are also churches that are intentionally building for tomorrow or for the future. These are the two broad categories of churches. There are churches that are only thinking about today, thinking about the immediate, and just focused on the present. That's one kind. But there are also churches that have a vision of continuing into the future. And may I submit to you that Shepherd's Fold Restoration family is trusting God to build a church that will last generations. Can I have an amen? Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
We are not doing what we are doing just for today and just for the present. That is why there are certain structures that have been put in place. That is why the church has a development plan for the years. There is actually a 10-year development plan that we are currently running with. And as we get to the end of that 10-year period, before we get there, there will be another development plan that will be put in place. Remember that Jesus Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Churches that are built for the present do not think much about the future. And it's like everything is about here and today. And as the head pastor of this church, I want you to understand that everything that has been done since the church started up till this point has been very intentional, not incidental at all. because I am trusting God that this church will outlive all of us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Assemblies of God is 110 years, I believe. Methodist Church, more than 100 years in Ghana. Catholic Church, more than 100 years in Ghana. If you take the International Central Gospel Church, it is 42 years, I believe. And there are churches that have been around for decades. SFRF will be 5 years old in December. So we are very young, all right? We are very, very young. But it's important for all of us to understand that what we are building is for the future. It is not just for today and for the present. And I want to say to all of us, let us not fight the things that we put in place to help us have a church for the future. Because sometimes when you come up with policies and principles and cultures and you introduce them in the church, you will always find people who oppose those things and feel that they are not needed and they are not necessary. But you'll be making a serious mistake if you think that these things are not important for the longevity of the church. Can I have an amen from somebody? So then, we must ask ourselves today, what will Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family look like 10 years from now? What will it look like 20 years from now? What will it look like 50 years from now? If this church is going to outlive all of us and be around for decades and for years, then we must be intentional about it. So sometimes I wonder, I think, who will be sitting in these chairs in some years to come? Who will be the pastors of this church in some years to come? And can I tell you that I am not building a family dynasty? That's not what this church is about. Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family is not a legacy for my son and daughter. Caleb, stand. Kara, stand. This is my son, and that is my daughter. And I want to make it emphatically clear that this church is not their inheritance. That's not what is being built. And it's important to make these declarations because sometimes people have a wrong notion of what is being done. I have not purposed that this young man and young lady will become pastors of the church. It is the decision of the Lord. When by the grace of God we gave birth to them, I held them up to the Lord and I dashed them. I dashed them to the Lord. And I prayed a prayer that whatever God wants to do with them, I will not obstruct it. But I will not be presumptuous to say that I know everything that God wants to do with them. It may well be that they will become pastors. I will be honored if my children become pastors and they take after me. But whatever God wants to do with them, it is His decision. It is not mine. And sometimes as parents, we try to micromanage the lives of our children, trying to force them and drive them on the path that we want them to walk on. It's a mistake. There are a lot of doctors and lawyers in town today who are disillusioned. They never wanted to be doctors. They never wanted to be lawyers. They may have a reputation, a good name, and everything, but deep inside them, that's not what they wanted to do. There was something else they wanted to do with themselves. Thank God for parents and the good intentions we have for our children. But can I say to every parent here, allow God to be sovereign in the lives of your children. Your duty is to identify certain things with them and help to shape them and guide them and direct them. But ultimately, let the will of God for their lives be done and not your own will. Amen. Young man, young lady, you may resume your seat. So this is a disclaimer. This church is not an inheritance or a legacy for my wife and for my children. And you will understand better as we move on. So who will be pastoring this church in some years to come? Who are those who will be gathering here to worship the Lord? Maybe not here, but in there. All right? Who will be reaching out to the community? Who will be carrying the fire of the gospel? And so on and so forth. Now, if SFRF is going to be a church with a future, then there are certain things that we must put in place. And there are things that we must deliberately do. I'm going to touch on a few of them and then we will close. And if Jesus tarries and we have life next week, we're going to continue and look at the rest. But how can we build a church with a future? How can we do this? Number one, Christ must be the center of everything we do. And he must be the head of the church. Amen. Christ must be the center of everything we do. And he must be the head of the church. So we read Matthew 16, 18, which I'll read again, where it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build whose church?" Christ's church. Who does the church belong to? It belongs to Christ. SFRF is not my church. In a certain sense, I can use that expression, my church, in reference to where I fellowship. But as the one God used to start this ministry, and let me tell you, I never had any intention to start any church anywhere. Never. Never. Was never a dream of mine. Was never a plan of mine. Was never an intention of mine. Of all the dreams that I've had, never once did I dream that me, I will be somebody God will use to start a church. I've always seen myself as one who stands behind and supports others to carry out their mission and assignment, but never as the one leading the way. Every leadership role that I have found myself playing, I did not lobby for it. I never asked for it. There are actually leadership roles and responsibilities that I resisted. From becoming a pastor to becoming an ordained reverend minister to becoming consecrated at a point as a bishop, they are not things that me I went looking for. And I'm saying these things because I know that even in the church, people lobby for these things. It's a very common thing. I didn't want it, but I had to yield and surrender to what God wanted to do with me at different points and stages of my life. I don't like being in the limelight. I don't like it. I prefer to be behind and helping and doing things.
that's me.
So it was not my dream to start this church. It is the Lord who had a different plan for me. And I resisted him. I resisted the Lord when he started laying these things in my heart and on my mind. I fought it. Because I knew that it was something that was going to lead me into a lot of battles that I was not ready to fight. But here we are, and it's almost 5 years down the line. That is why somebody like me should never be able to stand somewhere and speak with a lot of pride and pomposity and describe this church as my church. Me, it's not my church. So I have trained myself. When I'm referring to this church, to consciously decide not to use that expression, my church. Often what I will say is, I am the pastor of this church, Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family, that God graciously used me to start. And the name of the church, Shepherd's Fold, the shepherd, apostrophe S in the name of the church, is not me. It is not me. The shepherd in the name of the church is the Lord Jesus, who is the good shepherd, who is the chief shepherd, and who is the great shepherd. And he said it emphatically here that I will build my church. So the church belongs to him. It doesn't belong to me. Not to Pastor James. Not to Pastor Joe, Pastor Philip, Pastor Debbie, Pastor Christian, Pastor Nana, plus all the other branch pastors. The church does not belong to us. And if this church is going to have a great future, we must allow Jesus to own his church and be in control of his church and be in the center of his church. And that is why I don't know how or when, maybe it will happen, but it would be a very difficult thing for me to tell somebody that I have sacked you from my church. You are sacked. The church is not for me. There may be certain circumstances that may come up that may lead to a separation. And it will have to be very, very, very extreme for something like that to happen. So what is likely to happen if you ever see anybody leaving this church? It is because they wanted to leave. Not because I or any of the other pastors wanted them to leave. And here's the thing about the church. Some come and some go. It's not unusual. That's how it's always been with the church. So let's not have headaches over that. People will come and people will go. As a pastor, I don't like to lose members. I take it personal. I feel I have failed. Because you see, what guides me in the work I do is the statement that Jesus made, of all that the Father has given to me, I have lost none except the Son of Perdition. That's what guides me. And I will usually bend myself backwards over and over and over again, not to lose anybody. But I understand that the reality of life and ministry is that not everybody you start with is going to be with you to the end. And there's a reason for it. There are some people who were here at the inception of the church. They are not here. Some were pastors, some were members, some were like founding pillars of the church. They are not here. But there's no reason to be angry with anybody or to curse anybody. It is what it is. Even Jesus, at a point, people left him. There was a point where it was just the disciples and the inner core who were left. And it is because he preached certain sermons that the people didn't like. Because you see, they had been chasing him all over the place after he did that miracle of the multiplication of bread and fish. They said, "Kwe, Kenya hawo blodoke kekena ni wo ye ni wo to ni wo nunu kesue no." I'm speaking Greek. Yeah. If this man has been able to multiply bread and fish and feed all of us here, it means that there is more where it came from. So they started chasing him all over the place for a repetition of the miracle. They crossed the sea because Jesus went on a boat with the disciples and went somewhere else. They chased him. When they met him, they said, "All correct, sir. We have been looking all over the place for you. All correct. We are your humble servants." Then Jesus said to them, Hey, you are looking for me, not because of the words of life that I speak, or because you are genuinely seeking for God and searching for God. That's not why you are looking for me. You are looking for me because you want more bread and fish. Pano na enchinam. Oh, me also don't watch your number or grill. Yes. So now Jesus told them, you want bread and fish. Today, I'll give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. They were very angry. They felt very insulted. Now you're calling us cannibals that we eat human flesh and blood. And he said so many things. He said that, "Let's go. Small bread and fish we are coming to ask for and all of that. Look at the way you are insulting us." From that day, they left him, including some people who worked closely with him. So Jesus turned to the inner core and said, "Will you also leave?" And once again, they responded, led by Peter, that, where are we going? You have the words of life. We don't have any other thing. We found what our soul is looking for. We are stuck with you forever. Whatever it is, some people will leave. Amen. So that is just by the way. So Jesus must be the center of everything we do, and he must be the head of the church. Colossians 1 verse 18. It says, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything." So he said, "I will build my church." Messi Masori. And he must be the center of the church that he's building. The pastor must not be the center of the church. The assistant pastor must not be the center of the church. The leaders in the church must not be the center of the church. Christ must be the center of the church. Can I have an amen from somebody? Technology must not be what drives the church. Buildings must not be what drives the church. Programs, the music, lights, sound. I mean, it is great to have a church with great sound. and to have a church with great lights. But do you know what it has become of late? When we are trying to advertise the church, we advertise the church referring to the building, the sound, the music, and the lights. So come to my church. And then sometimes we advertise the church talking a lot about the pastor of the church. I forbid anyone here to use me as the reason why somebody should come to this church. Look, the truth is that there's a certain attachment you develop towards your pastor. And because of that, you enjoy his ministry. You like to sit under his feet. I don't have any problem with that. But if you are reaching out to anybody to come to church, to become a member of this church, to become born again and everything, do not use me. Refer to Christ. Don't talk about the sound. By the grace of God, the sound is not bad. We don't have very sophisticated things. It's just that the little we have, we've been able to manage them well. All right? The lights. Look, it was a struggle for me to fix these lights. It was a struggle for me. Because the lights are great, but I think that we are overdoing it. Maybe I'm too conservative. The Lord forgive me. But there's a certain atmosphere, ambience, that sound, lights, and all of those things create. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that these things, the beauty of the auditorium, the chairs, all those things, the LED screen, should not be what is driving the church. Jesus must be the center of the church, and he must be allowed to be the head of the church. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, and I close with this. Let us build a church with a future by intentionally building a church that knows Jesus. A church that loves Jesus. A church that preaches Jesus. A church that worships Jesus. A church that obeys Jesus. A church that makes disciples of Jesus. Because if Christ is no longer at the center of all these things that I've listed, we have lost the very essence of the church. And such a church will never have a future. Hallelujah. May the church not revolve around the personality and charisma of the head pastor or the so-called founder. And may we, at every point in time, may we point to Jesus in everything that we do. Because it is all about him. We must build a church with a future. And one of the key things that we must keep our focus on is to ensure that at every time, Jesus is the center of the church and everything that we do, and he is allowed to be the head of his own body. Because it's a problem. If somebody is struggling with your head, because your head is attached to your body, it's part of it. So nobody should struggle with you over the headship of your body. Unfortunately, that's what we do with the church. And by we, I'm talking to us, the pastors. It's like we are struggling with Jesus for the headship of what belongs to him. Will you like it when somebody is trying to cut your head off and then take control and put another head on it? You wouldn't like it. But that is what we do to Jesus all the time. We kick him off and then we take over. And we build the church around us, around our personalities, around our gifts, around our charisma. and then we allow the church members to worship us. We become like demigods to the church members. And now it is about the pastor, the founder, the head pastor, the senior pastor. It's about him. And it's not about Christ anymore. Hallelujah. A lot of things are going on in the body of Christ today. But I pray that by the grace of God, we will press on and persevere to build a church for the future. And the first thing we should push for is to build a church where Christ is allowed to be the center of his church and to be the head of it. And Lord Jesus, if there is any way that in trying to do this work, I have elevated myself more than I needed to, through certain decisions, certain moves, certain steps, if there is anything that I've ever done to displace you as the center of this church and to dislodge you as the head of this church, I pray for mercy. And not just for myself, but for the people I lead. If in anything that we have done, we have pushed you aside, intentionally or unintentionally, Father, we ask for mercy. And today, Lord Jesus, we say to you, have unreserved control of your church. It is yours. And we will not struggle with you over the headship of this church. May you always be the center, the fulcrum, and the focus of Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. May this be a church built for the future that will always proclaim the name of Jesus and bring glory to him. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Rise to your feet, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You heard me making reference to Jesus over and over again, that he must be the center of his church. But where you are concerned as an individual, he must be the center of your life. And there's a need for every one of us to open our hearts to Jesus and receive him as our Lord and Savior. This afternoon, in a few minutes that we have left as we close, I want to ask you, is Jesus the center of your life? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to him, opened your heart to him to come in and be Lord of your life? Maybe you stumbled upon this live streaming or the video later on, but I'm speaking to you as well. Is Jesus the center of your life? There is something you can do to allow him access into your heart and into your life. And what you have to do is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says if you do that and you truly mean what you did, you will become saved. You become a child of God and he will be the center of your life. Today I want to pray with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You want me to pray with you for Jesus to come into your heart. You're watching me right now. But right where you are, I need your response. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you wherever you are. God bless you. Can you lift up your hand very clearly for me to see? God bless you. In your room, can you lift up your hand? Now with your hand lifted, can you say this prayer with me? Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I give you access, oh Jesus, into my heart, into my life. Be the center of my life. Be the head, the Lord, the master of my very life. I thank you that as I've come to you, you will not turn me away. Thank you for receiving me. I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why don't you give Jesus a mighty hand clap, everyone? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.